Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left for today's very special episode of the County Cricket Podcast, I can't believe I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen, but it is none other than Chris Benjamin, one of my absolute favourite players from County Cricket this season. Chris, mate, first things first, thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. How's your day been so far, mate?
Well, it's been fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, Chris, it is an absolute pleasure. As I said, this season really has been the year of Chris Benjamin. And I'm not sure if you have Twitter, Chris, but July the 6th, we had a conversation on Twitter and we put on our Twitter account, it's Chris Benjamin season. 13 days later, T20 debut, 60 not out. Yeah, it's been quite the summer for yourself, Benji, of course, with the Bears and the 100. But we'll get into that as the podcast progresses. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself just yet. So just for the listeners out there, today I'm going to be talking to Chris about his earliest cricketing memories. Then, of course, we do have to focus a lot of today's podcast on Warwickshire County Cricket Club. And then we'll end today's episode with a classic round of TCCP teammates. But Chris, before we get into all of that good stuff then, I want to transport you all the way back to the origin of the Chris Benjamin cricketing journey. So what were your first ever memories of cricket, either playing or watching the game?
First ever memories are probably just in my back garden or in the driveway with my dad when I was about 7, 8 years old. Him just throwing balls to me all day. Then my grandpa coming in throwing balls. And then, yeah, just watching it on TV probably and looking up at idols and just dreaming of one day playing at some of the famous grounds around the world.
Wow. And of course, you call one of those famous grounds home. At Edgbaston, you played at Lords, of course, this season as well. It's not bad, is it, the life of a professional cricketer? But Chris, you mentioned there about cricketing idols. And of course, growing up in South Africa, we can think of plenty of iconic Proteas players, the Jack Callises, the Dale Steyns, the Sean Pollocks. I am just listing Warwickshire players there. Of course, the likes of Graham Smith, Hashim Amla, de Villiers. We could spend all podcast talking about great South African cricketers. But in those formative years, who were your cricketing idols? Who did you look up to in the world of cricket and try to almost mould your game off of in those early years?
Oh, AB de Villiers has been my idol the whole way, the whole time growing up, and sort of tried to model my game on his. And then sort of in the last 5, 6 years as well, Josh Butler, the way he's played the game as a batsman wicketkeeper, playing all three formats, I'd say them two are who I've really tried to base my game around.
Great choices. Chris, you won't know this, but I'm an RCB fan in the IPL. So AB de Villiers, of course, an absolute legend of the Bengaluru-based franchise and a legend of cricket. It's Abraham Benjamin de Villiers, graced the county circuit in 2019 for Middlesex as well. The man is an absolute bona fide legend of cricket. And you mentioned there about both AB and Josh Butler, because I've noticed a lot of their style in your game in terms of the way in which you attack bowlers very early on. You've got cocked wrists and then bang, it unleashes this unholy barrage of fours and sixes against the bowlers. So, Chris, how would you describe your batting style to those who haven't seen you before? How would you go about describing your approach to the game of cricket?
Especially in white ball cricket, got out there and looked to be real positive. From the start, I looked to put the bowler under pressure. And then even in red ball cricket, obviously more times in red ball cricket, you have to absorb pressure. Bowlers can go through some really good spells, maybe playing on a wicket that there's a little bit more on offer for the bowler. So you have to absorb pressure. But I still think even in red ball cricket, putting the bowler under pressure, where that's leaving well with intent, few quick singles, it brings those bad balls along. So, yeah, just going out there being real positive, real clear on your game plans. I'm a big believer in sort of the night before, day before, having a look at what bowlers I'm coming up against, what shot options might be looking to play in different situations. So then in the heat of the moment, with a little bit of pressure on, at least you thought about it, you got a clear game plan and you play your strong shots when it matters.
100%, Chris. So very methodical in terms of the way in which you approach your batting. And I just wanted to ask this because it is quite an interesting question. And because we have spoken about AB de Villiers, do you ever get nervous before you go out into the middle? Because I look at AB, and for those who've seen him on the touchline, his legs are shaking. He does look quite nervous before he goes out and bats. And then he goes into middle and it's just this sea of calm. He looks like the most composed individual on the entire pitch. So, Chris, before you go out to bat, are you nervous or are you pretty level-headed in terms of your approach to actually walking out to the middle?
Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty level-headed. When I'm out in the middle and you're in the moment, you've got the crowd going, bowler running in, feel very calm, very focused. Waiting to go bat, I guess it weighs a little bit of those nerves, more excitement to go and get out there. But definitely watching is more nerve-wracking than playing. I'd rather be out there in the moment trying to win the game.
Yeah, so very much in the AB de Villiers school of thinking there, Chris. Yeah, I think you'd agree with that as well, to be honest. It is horrible to watch sometimes, isn't it? I'm from the bench, of course, for us as fans. I mean, your heart's pounding, the nerves are racked. It's a great, great sport, though. It's a wonderful sport. It keeps you coming back, wanting more, never fails to deliver. It's just a wonderful sport. Best sport on the planet, if you can't tell already by my incredibly biased review of the game of cricket. But Chris, of course, we've mentioned here a lot about South Africa in terms of your idols, in terms of AB de Villiers as well, of course. But how did the initial move to England materialise in the first place? What made you journey from the Rainbow Nation to the shores of the United Kingdom in the first place?
My dad's English, so he's from here. I was very close to coming to high school here. I looked at a number of different high schools. As at the time, I was living in Uganda. So I lived in Uganda for 3 years. We were expats there. So I was looking at a number of different boarding schools in England and looked at a couple in South Africa. And I just think I had a few mates from primary school that ended up going to St. Andrews College, where I ended up going, which ended up changing my mind. And I ended up going there instead of coming to the UK. So right from about 11, 12, the UK has always been a place I wanted to come play cricket, a place I wanted to grow up, spend some time. And then obviously finishing high school, looking at university, as well as my main aim of becoming a professional cricketer, I knew I needed to study. And I heard about the MCCU universities, or the scheme that it used to be. So I had a look at a number of them. I was very undecided between Loughborough and Durham, but after I went to look at Durham, just fell in love with it. The college system, the pedigree of the degree you get there. So the combination of academics and cricket is what drew me to Durham and to the UK. And as I've said, I've always dreamed of living over here.
Well, fair enough, Chris. And it's nice that dream has now been realised, of course, having come through that system, now playing for arguably the best county in England and Wales in Warwickshire County Cricket Club. But just before we get into that initial move and, of course, your time with Durham MCCU, you alluded to it there. You lived in Uganda for 3 years. I didn't know this. So could you just give us a bit of the background story behind that? How did that move materialise? And I suppose, if anything, did you learn any lessons from your time in Uganda?
Yeah, so it was through my dad's work. We lived in Uganda for 3 years. And then after that, we actually lived in Tanzania for 3 years as well. And that was at the time I started high school. So in some ways, it was very tough. Obviously, two new starts. There was no cricket or rugby, sort of the main sports I knew coming from South Africa. So I played a lot of basketball, a lot of football, a lot of athletics, a lot of swimming. But I think looking back now, I've got great memories, but incredibly grateful for the life experiences it taught me. I think they've really held me in good stead going forward. Just very grateful for the opportunity. It's a very unique one to have lived in so many places growing up. And I loved it.
Well, yeah, Chris, that's what I was going to say. It is very, very unique. I mean, I can't say we've had anyone on the podcast who's, you know, had that early stepping stone in life, I suppose, but that is really cool. I'm going to be honest, Uganda, I mean, they do play cricket. They have the cricket cranes, and Tanzania as well, represented by a giraffe. They have a giraffe on their badge, for those who don't know, but yeah, fair play. That is really cool. So not just South Africa, but also other nations in and around Central and East Africa. That's pretty cool. I can't say I've done that myself. I've lived in the UK my entire life. in fact, more specifically, Shakespeare's County here in the Midlands, but that is really cool. But of course, we all need to talk about Uganda and Tanzania. Again, I don't want to go too much off topic, Chris, but we have to speak a little bit about Durham MCCU, okay, about your time there. Of course, you had your education on the side, but In terms of the initial move itself, I always ask this to South African cricketers on the podcast. Did you find the initial adapting to English conditions quite difficult? Because if we look at South Africa, where you would have played a lot of your cricket, it's a lot faster in terms of the deck. You know, it doesn't swing as much either, does it, clearly? Because you have a Kookaburra ball. Here we have the Duke ball, the overcast conditions as well. Did you find it quite difficult in those initial, you know, stages of your journey in the UK to adapt to our playing conditions?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'll say yes to that. So I came over summer of 2018 and was only starting uni October 2018. So I had a sort of that whole summer playing cricket here. I came over to play for Cambridge Cricket Club. And sort of halfway through the season, trialled at Essex and played for them for the whole summer in their second team, which was a great learning experience. But no, in the first few months, I definitely did struggle. I think, yeah, slower wickets, club wickets never prepared too well, club bowlers with no pace from it or no pace on the ball. It is a very different art of scoring runs, I'd say. I can even remember some of my teammates, because I'd go off in the week trialing at Essex 2s, doing really nicely, get a few 50s, then come back on a Saturday, maybe not do as well, maybe do nicely. But they'd always be a bit confused, like, you're scoring runs in the week, surely just every Saturday it's even easier. But no, it's not always the case. Some club wickets and some club bowlers. So no, I definitely did struggle, but the struggles you have always great learning opportunities. And that's when you really sort of develop your game, work harder and get better.
Well, yeah, to be honest, Chris, this country definitely is one of the, if not the most difficult places as a batsman, no matter the level. And of course, I know this from village experience. I average 11.5 with a bat, which isn't exactly amazing, let's be honest. But I'll tell you what, some of the wickets you get in village cricket, my goodness, let's just say you wouldn't see them in the county game or indeed the international one. Very, 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 very low scoring at times. Incredibly difficult to get the timing on the bats, or at least that's my excuse. It's the wicket, not the lack of ability. But yeah, I suppose it is a little bit of a shock, isn't it? I suppose coming from South Africa, where you've got very, very hard, quick, bouncy tracks. Then you come to England and you just turn up at some random village and yeah, it's basically just a field in the middle of nowhere. It must be quite strange, I suppose. But you alluded to it there, your time with Essex Second 11, because some people may not know this, Chris. Your cricketing journey could have been completely different. Essex could have actually picked you up, couldn't they, from that trial? So in terms of your time with Essex Second 11 and that whole period of your career, what do you say you learned from your time with the Eagles?
I think the biggest thing I learned was, or the confidence it gave me. I mean, I'm still very young and naive. Not that I'm not young and naive now. But I was only 18 years old. Obviously, chasing the dream. New in the UK. And the confidence to have scored those runs and done really nicely against some of the top county pros. It was fantastic. Just to be in around the environment, to see how the guys train, how they prepare, and what's required of to be a full-time pro. So I think, those experiences really have helped me get this opportunity at Warwickshire.
Fair enough, Chris. And of course, you've taken that opportunity with both hands, to say the least. So this is where we're going to go into the major chunk of today's podcast, which is, of course, about the Bear and Ragged Staff. My beloved county, my boyhood county since 2009. And Chris, first of all, before we get into this season, and of course, the brilliant Second 11 tournament you had in the Second 11 T20s, and then, of course, your incredible debuts across all three formats in T20, List A and First Class. How did the move to Warwickshire actually materialise in the first place? How did you go from playing for Durham and Essex Second 11 to playing for Warwickshire County Cricket Club?
So it came about winter 2019, sort of November time. The MCCU universities get to send 5 or 6 players to a trial day at Loughborough. I was fortunate enough to be selected and went for Durham. And it was there where all the sort of counties send scouts or second 11 coaches, whatever it might be. And just from my net there, Ian Westwood watched me, was impressed with my range of shots, chatted to my coach to find out a little bit more about me, that I keep And so I was actually meant to come on trial with Warwickshire in 2020, but unfortunately that didn't happen because of COVID. And then got in touch with him again at the start of this year. Fortunately, had a really good season for Durham Uni with the bat. And yeah, sort of just all steamrolled from once I joined with Warwickshire.
It certainly has. You've been absolutely incredible. And as I said, we'll talk about your debuts and the impact as well you've had on the team. I mean, you've really, I'd say, revitalised Warwickshire heading into this second half of the season. To be honest, it's been wonderful watching you bat from the stands. And imagine I'm not alone in saying that. I've heard a lot of Warwickshire fans say they're incredibly excited about the next 3 years. But before we get into the first 11 stuff, we have to touch upon a little bit of the second 11, because you had an incredible time with our second 11 in this year's T20 comp. We actually won the competition at finals day in Arundel. So just in terms of that tournament this season, how would you describe your experiences with the Bears second 11?
Absolutely loved it. No, it was an incredible team to be a part of. Coming here as a bit of an outsider, a youngster, the environment that all the coaches, but more so Ian Westwood, the second team coaches, created, some of the senior players, was just to be real confident, real positive, and go be brave. We wanted to be the most dominant team, play the most aggressive cricket. So as a player, that just fills you with so much belief that the coaches back you to make whatever decision you feel in the moment is the best one to score runs. So fortunately, as a team, we did really well. Got to finals day. To play in that, to captain the second team, to win there was a fantastic experience. To take the gloves back three as well, which was awesome. And then, to get in a few good performances along the way, which was also very enjoyable.
Indeed it was, Chris. And again, it was fantastic to watch. It really was absolutely brilliant. And for us as a club, I know some people may dismiss it, second 11, this, that, the other, but it's nice to have a trophy in the cabinet. It is technically another one to have in there. It might not be the county championship, but it's a trophy nonetheless. And on finals day, George Garrett was fantastic, wasn't he? He took a fifer in the final.
No, he was superb. He was superb. I was so pleased for him. Great bowler, but like even better person. So when a good friend and a great man does really well in a final, you just couldn't be any happier for him. So no, it was great that he could put that performance in the final to get us the win.
It was a good win as well. And a good day, to be honest, for Warwickshire. I mean, you got to play with the likes of Dom Sibley and the Owl as well. Ollie Hannon-Dorby, he was there on finals day. So quite a nice way, I suppose, to start your time with Warwickshire, with a trophy, of course. I mean, it's not that bad. A second 11 T20 trophy. But Chris, of course, from there, from those humble beginnings with the Bears, you went on to make your debut. Northamptonshire at home. It is a must-win game. Warwickshire have to win this. And then, of course, hope and pray that Leicestershire can somehow beat Worcestershire, which, of course, we'll get to in due course. Thank you, Josh Inglis, for writing that chapter in history. But in terms of that debut, when did you find out you're going to make your T20 debut for the Bears?
I only found out on the Saturday that there was a very good chance I'll be playing on the Sunday. There'd been a few games previously where be told there's a chance I might be playing. I had some of the guys saying, "Oh, Benji, we think you should be in. So just stay patient. You've done really well for the second team. Obviously, had a couple of really big scores there. I was waiting, trying to be patient, but I was obviously really, really wanting that opportunity. And then, fortunately, it came about. As you said, must win game. I was just absolutely buzzing with the opportunity to make my debut.
Absolutely, Chris. And what a debut it was. And what a day as well. Beautiful weather. It's about 30 degrees in Birmingham. Absolutely cracking the flag, sun out. There wasn't really much cloud cover either. It's just a lovely day to watch cricket, to be honest, from the Stanley Barnes stand. But in terms of that debut, Chris, how would you put that into your own words? How would you describe your Warwickshire debut? Because it started out very, very uniquely. For those who don't know the background behind this, Chris, you were a runner, weren't you, in the second over to Adam Hoser, and unfortunately got injured. Yeah. So how would you describe that debut? First of all, with the moment you had to go out and be the runner, because that is an incredible start.
Yeah, I think incredible would be a great word to use just for the whole debut. A few people have asked me this. What was it like being a runner? It's obviously not something, I've not ever done it before. But I think it did actually really help me because it gave me sort of five overs to be out in the middle, get used to the environment, get used to the big crowd, have a look at how the wicket was playing. So by the time I came into bat, I didn't actually have any nerves at all. It felt, in a way, that I'd already been batting. So, I mean, as we chatted to before the show started, I reverse swept my first ball for four. So, no, I had a lot of confidence. I just wanted to go out there and give it my best shot to get the team over the line.
I'm glad you mentioned that first ball, because the word audacious comes to mind. It was an absolutely ludicrous shot first up. I don't think I've seen a Warwickshire player hit a reverse sweep first ball, to be honest. It was absolutely incredible. And then from there, it just kept on getting better and better and better. 60 not out from 34 balls. Chris, how would you describe that? Because your first game at Fortress Edge Baston, okay, it is a must-win game, so there's a lot of pressure on your shoulders. You come out there, first ball, reverse sweep Josh Cobb for four. How on earth would you go about describing that debut? And I suppose the feelings afterwards as well, just how proud of a moment was that for you personally?
Yeah, I couldn't have been any prouder. I mean, it might sound weird saying it, but I always believed I could play innings like that. And I have for a while. So it was a bit of relief in a way to go out there and show everyone that I'm good enough and this is what I can do. And I mean, we've seen in the hundreds some of the knocks there, et cetera, et cetera. But for that first one in front of everyone to go out there and real sort of put my name out there, it was a very proud moment. It was great to bat with the skipper, Will Rhodes, sort of got a nice partnership going. And then to finish it off with Carlos Brathwaite, who I played a number of games for in the second team. He passed on many, many lessons to me, our time together. So, no, it was a great experience.
Well, that is wonderful to hear. Yeah, Carlos Brathwaite, not a bad power hitter to have in the ranks and, of course, learn some lessons from. And I have to ask this because there are a lot of shots to choose from. But in terms of that day, you had the reverse sweep. I also think you absolutely launched Freddie Heldreich into the south stand as well at Edgbaston, which was an incredible shot. I think that was one of your two sixes. But what would you say was your favourite shot from that innings?
Yeah, I think either that's slog sweep to Freddie, that south stand or Hollies, or the one north Graham White where it just sort of hits over long on. I think it went into the first tee or something, but no, that was a nice feeling getting one out the middle.
It always is, isn't it? It makes that lovely sound. And then, of course, the ripple of the crowd afterwards. And what a debut. What a win. And, of course, what a day for the Bears. Leicestershire winning, of course, afterwards and sending us through to the quarterfinals. Unfortunately, we did fall to Kent down in Canterbury, as I discussed here on the show. But what a debut. What an incredible way to announce yourself to the Edgbaston faithful. And, of course, from there, Chris, you weren't done in terms of your debuts. 50 from 57 balls against Glamorgan on list day debut. And then most recently, first-class debut. This was ludicrous. Absolutely insane. 127 against Lancashire up at Old Trafford in what looked like a very, very strange pitch. In fact, Chris, I'd love to know your thoughts on this. How did that pitch actually play? Because there were all sorts of speculation and all different sorts of theories about, is it a good batting pitch? Is it a bad batting pitch? Some players were getting hundreds. Others were getting out for a duck. How did that pitch up in Manchester actually play on your first-class debut?
No, it played nicely. Well, that was a good wicket. Not your regular green seamer like you get in some other places around the UK. So, no, it was dry. I guess you get a little bit of one up, one down sort of bounce. But, no, it was a good wicket to bat on.
Oh, fair enough. Well, you made it look easy. As I said, 127 and then 42 in the second innings. Not bad at all. Not bad at all, Chris. And actually, this relates to one of our fan questions that we got on Twitter. And this is from Cody. He said, what was your favourite debut this season?
So hard to pick which would be my favourite. I mean, the T20 being the first one is always going to be special. I guess what also makes it hard to pick is I thought you did quite well in all three, if you include the 100 in all four. So it's really hard to give you one. I mean, T20 was very special because it was the first one. To make my four-day debut or championship debut for Warwickshire with Red Bull sort of being the penultimate point of cricket, very special. To get my first 100 was incredible. But then, yeah, also the 100 debut, coming in as sort of an outsider, the least experienced player, as I think Wisdom Cricket wrote about, into the tournament. And then to get the go in the first game was also just an incredible experience. So, no, neither or none stand out more than the other. They're all incredibly good experiences that I'll cherish for a long time.
To be fair, I suppose it is very, very difficult, isn't it? It's not as though one of the debuts was like a low score. Every single one of them was fantastic and incredibly memorable. And as you said, that must have been strange for you personally. I'd love to know this, Chris. How you actually have dealt with that rise to stardom, I suppose, because beforehand you were playing in the second 11 cricket. And then, of course, you make that debut for Warwickshire. Then you get selected immediately for the Birmingham Phoenix. And then it's back to the Warwickshire. And again, you make 100 on your first class debut for the Bears. How have you dealt with the pressures associated with your rise in county cricket?
I don't really look at them as pressures. I just think just opening new opportunities, new doors. Now you set your goals higher. So stay grounded, stay humble, always try to be the hardest worker, and keep aspiring for new goals, really. Just because you've done well doesn't mean anything's changed. That's in the past. Enjoy it, but you can't live off a few games for your whole life, can you? So hopefully it's just the start. I've got great goals and ambitions. Hopefully it's just the start.
Well, fingers crossed, Chris. Fingers crossed. I mean, for us as Warwickshire fans, I know I've said this already, but you have made an immediate impact on the Warwickshire faithful. As I said, right from that debut in T20, I mean, there's been a lot of talk on Twitter. I know you don't have Twitter, but honestly, if you ever just have a look at the app, get on one of the teammates, get on one of your mates' phones, right? Just have a look on Twitter sometimes, because the reaction to your rise with the Bears has been absolutely phenomenal. You've become a real favourite already at the Fortress, and it has been an incredible season for you personally. 2021, you've come through the ranks from the second 11, made all three debuts, made an immediate impact, and of course now, I mean, you've got a three-year contract in county cricket. It's massively, massively impressive, personally speaking. So, Chris, before we get on to your future aspirations, just one final thing about 2021. How would you describe it? Because it's been memorable, to say the least, of course. We've still got one more round of county championship cricket as well. But how would you describe Chris Benjamin's 2021 county cricket season?
Dream come true. I'd say it's been a dream for 10 to 15 years since I can remember. Obviously, that dream's become even a bigger part of me, what I want to do as I've got older. It's been many years, hard work, disappointment, great times, some more disappointment, as any dreams and aspirations has. So I'll say no, 2021, what a summer it's been. Loved every second of it, and just a dream come true now.
Well, that is a lovely way of describing it. And it has indeed turned out to be Chris Benjamin season, as we said on Twitter. So absolutely phenomenal. And obviously, Chris, wishing you the very, very best of luck heading into the Somerset game. And of course, the years beyond that, I'll be at Edgbaston cheering you on, mates. Let's just say that. But before we get on to the fan questions and, of course, teammates, our concluding segment of today's podcast, Chris, what are your future aspirations with the club? And I suppose in terms of you as a cricketer, because there has been a lot of chat about potential England call-up, or at least potential in the future, maybe not just yet. Maybe let's not get ahead of ourselves. We are just one season in. I don't want to, you know, over-exaggerate it just yet. But what do you say are your future aspirations in the county circuit and, of course, with your cricketing career?
Well, I think, first off, team aspirations, always the most important, is to win trophies for the Bears, both in T20 cricket and in four-day cricket in the championship. If I'm around for the 50 over that as well. But no, definitely want to make a few T20 finals there. I know there's one happening tomorrow. I was at training today. I was very jealous that we couldn't get to finals day. So no, that would be an incredible experience to play in. So I think first and foremost is to win trophies for Warwickshire. And just to cement my place in the batting order in all formats. I'm more than happy to bat wherever the team needs. They know I love batting at three. So now I'm working really hard, both white ball, but even more so red ball, to make sure I can cement my spot at number three.
Well, fair enough, Chris. And of course, keeping our fingers crossed that you can, because yeah, it's been a very, very impressive start, say the least, we have three more years of that, I tell you what, those titles, those trophies could well be coming home. Who knows, to the Fortress and, of course, to Warwickshire County Cricket Club. We can but hope, of course, one day. But, yeah, I think the future looks very, very bright, to say the least, of course. And Warwickshire fans will be looking forward to that as well. So, Chris, before we get on to teammates and wrap up today's podcast, just a couple of fan questions, of course, from the Warwickshire faithful. Our first one is from Tom, and he says, Benji, are you looking to play for England or South Africa in the future? Now, I'm guessing you've had this question a lot, Chris, but where does the heart lie, I suppose? Which one of those countries would you prefer to represent?
Yeah, I have had this question quite a lot indeed this summer. And as I've said all summer, I'll say again, it's for England. My dad's from here. Growing up, watching the Ashes, I've always thought that sort of the main event in cricket, the penultimate goal. Just a great contest, two great rivals, real high standard of cricket. So that's the biggest dream for me, would be to play in the Ashes for England. So no, definitely to play for England.
Well, there we go, folks. There is the answer. And it's an answer which has put a massive grin on my face as well, I have to admit, obviously. I mean, we spoke a little bit beforehand, didn't we, Chris, before the show began. But yeah, obviously, very, very much a fan of that decision, to say the least. And obviously, this is a little bit off topic, but you mentioned the Ashes, Chris. What's your all-time favourite Ashes memory?
Probably that knock. Oh, no. Jay, I was going to say the Kevin Pearson one, but no. Ben Stokes when he was batting with Jack Leach at Headingley. That's my all-time favourite Ashes memory, definitely, by far.
Fair enough. Yeah, 2019. What a series. 2-2, of course, the urn is still down under, but who knows, Chris? One day could be down there, bringing it back to the shores of the UK. Who knows? Fingers crossed. But I know that was a little bit off topic, so we'll get back to the fan questions. Moving on to our next one. This is an interesting one from JP. Chris, did you have much interest from any other counties after your initial form for Warwickshire and, of course, after the 100? Were any other counties trying to get after your signature?
Yeah, I did actually have a few counties interested. Some tempting ones, but no, I've absolutely loved my time at Warwickshire. The environment that the coaches have created is one I thrive off. I love the dressing room, couldn't be any better with the teammates in there, and just to have the backing of the coaches and myself. Yeah, they've looked after me. They've sort of given me their platform, and now it's time for me to pay them back with some loyalty and go win them some trophies.
I'll tell you what, Chris, you're going to be very, very popular at Edgbaston. What an answer that is. First of all, to stick with the Bears, fantastic. I rate that very, very highly in sport. When someone does have that, Jake Lintott's the exact same, actually. Of course, a teammate of yours has come on the podcast and said something very, very similar. And of course, fingers crossed, Chris, you can have plenty more success in the Bear and Ragged staff for many years to come. I know we've got an initial 3-year contract. Who knows? Another extension on that, of course, if things go well, would be absolutely fantastic. So moving on to our final question then, Chris. This is an interesting one because, of course, at Warwickshire, for those who don't know, we do, of course, have Michael Burgess. We've got Alex Davis coming in next season as well from Lancashire. But our final question is, Chris, do you mind giving up the gloves in 2022 if needs be? Or would you like to be a wicketkeeper batsman, I suppose, in the side? Is that something which is big for you, or do you mind, I don't know, giving up the gloves for one season?
No, it's definitely massive for me. I've obviously got aspirations to play international cricket, and to be able to take the gloves obviously opens up other doors. It's not like if I'm told I'm not keeping, I'm going to throw my toys and so I'm not playing type thing. I mean, I'm more than happy to just play as a batsman, but I'm going to make sure I work hard enough that I'm at their level with the gloves or above. And then, yeah, it's up to the balance of the team, who gets in as a batsman. Do all three of us play? Do just two of us play? So, no, I mean, it's entirely up to the coaches. From my side, I'm going to work really hard to make sure my standard of keeping is good enough. And then it's up to them.
It is indeed, Chris. That's the attitude you have to have, isn't it? But I do agree. I mean, having that wicket-keeping ability, it's just another string to the bow, isn't it? Another dimension to your game as well, as you said, can make selection easier, I suppose, in the modern game as well, when you have players with multiple skill sets to draw upon. So yeah, definitely keep it up, 100%, keep up the keeping. I heard that you did well in the 100 with the gloves, so Yeah, who knows? Maybe one day behind the sticks for the Bears, a little bit like Tim Ambrose. Who knows? But yeah, that pretty much brings us to an end to our fan questions then, Chris. So just to wrap up today's episode, we do, of course, have teammates. So just for those who don't know, basically, I have an assortment of questions for Chris that he will answer about the teammates that he shares a dressing room with at Warwickshire County Cricket Club. So there could be some interesting answers in here, Chris. So, Chris Benjamin, are you ready for TCCP teammates?
Go for it. I didn't know we were doing these, but go for it. I've got no idea what to expect.
Right, first question then, Chris. Who is the teacher's pet down at Edgbaston? Who's always hanging around the coaches, per se?
Not been there long enough to give you an answer for that one.
Okay, fair enough. What about you with the coaches? In particular, Robbo. Because Robbo is this, you know, big figure at Warwickshire. What's your relationship with, like, Robbo?
No, it's good. No, it's very good, I'd say. He's obviously also new to Warwickshire, so he's still sort of learning the dynamics of the change room, learning sort of the way players work, what gets them going, how they are mentally, what they need to perform. But no, I've got a great relationship with him, got a lot of time for him as a coach, and really enjoyed working under him.
Fair enough. Very, very nice to hear that, of course. Robbo has had quite a big impact, it has to be said, on Warwickshire this season. You can tell with the results, to be honest. So that is very, very good to hear, Chris. So moving on to our next one, hopefully there's an answer for this one. Who's Mr. Hard as Nails in the dressing room? Who's the tough man at Warwickshire?
Oh, the tough man. Tim Breslin seems quite tough. Yeah, let's go with Brez.
Fair enough. Yeah, Brezzy lad. Definitely a little bit of a warrior sometimes. And pretty built as well. I have to say, Tim Breslin, a bit of a unit, to say the least.
Moving on. Maybe Liam Norwell.
Oh, that's a shout.
Yeah, I'm actually going to change my answer. Yeah, absolute machine. Running all day. Probably bore your whole 100 overs in the day. He's an absolute machine.
Well, there we go then. Liam Norwell, or Big Red, as we know him down in Warwickshire. Moving on to our next one then, Chris. Who's the most likely to get timed out? Who's a bit slow getting the kit and the pads on?
I wouldn't say anyone. It would have to be someone down the order if we lose a few quick wickets and someone's sort of just sitting, watching, having a coffee. Because I guess nowadays, if you're next, everyone's sort of sitting in their pads. So everyone's ready. But it would have to be someone down the order if we have a bit of a collapse. So could be anyone from 6 to 11 there. You pick a name.
Fair enough. It's funny you say that, actually. Not sure if you know Charlie Thurston from Northant. Apparently, he even if there's one wicket away from him coming into bat, he doesn't have anything on except for a thigh pad.
No, I wouldn't. I couldn't do that. Need to be ready to go.
Exactly. I could not believe that when I heard that from Emilio Gay. I was like, how on earth does he do? How on earth do you go out to bat, putting your gloves and pads and getting your helmet on? It's insane. But again, each their own. It is cricket, I suppose, at the end of the day. Moving on to the next one, Chris. Who's the biggest badger? Who would you say is the dressing room know-it-all when it comes to cricket?
Definitely Liam Norwell. Knows every single stat. He knows more stats than you even, Aaron. Yeah, he knows everything. He's got a very impressive knowledge of county cricket.
Fair enough. We'll have to test that out one day with Liam Norwell. Get him on for a badger off here on the County Cricket Podcast, see what stats he knows. What about you, Chris? You a bit of a badger or...?
I mean, I obviously love the game, but I wouldn't say I'm a badger. I know if someone scored 100 this week for another team and stuff, but I don't look really any further than that. See what my team's doing, look after my team, make sure I'm ready to perform. The others can sort their own stuff out. I'm not too fussed.
Fair enough. Not like Mason Crane then, who knows every single county cricketer's squad number in England and Wales right now, which is very impressive.
That's incredible. The least.
I know.
I mean, that's a rogue thing to be able to know, but fair play.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I do like to look at bowlers to see what they're doing, but I don't look at their stats or anything. I just like to know how they like to bowl, what their dismissals forms are and that sort of thing. But that's more in preparation to play them than just to have the knowledge, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, that's your pre-game prep, I suppose. I mean, Mason Crane has done that, just, you know, like as a hobby. It's insane. In fact, one day we do need to test that on the podcast as well. We've only heard that from Hampshire players. So whether or not Mason can do that, you know, on request, but Yeah, that is a pretty cool thing. And Jack Carson as well listed every single one of his first 40 wickets, including the method of dismissal, which is incredibly impressive, to say the least. There are some badgers in county cricket.
That's serious, serious badgery. It's too much for me, that.
To be honest, that's probably too much for me as well. I draw the line at knowing, you know, players getting wickets, but I couldn't sell all the dismissals. Moving on to the next one, Chris, our penultimate question for today. Who's the dressing room joker at Warwickshire? Who's a bit of a clown in the dressing room?
I'll probably have to say Lammy. He's just so funny. Always got so much energy. Probably Lammy.
That's a great shout. Also, arguably the best celebration in county cricket, chopping the foam. Oh,
so good, eh?
It is. It's amazing. And to be fair, his leg spin has come along a long way. He used to bowl a little bit of seam, I think.
Yeah, he used to struggle a bit with his back from the seamers. So he's converted to a few leggies and off spinner for left-handers in. Whatever you need, really.
I think that makes sense, to be honest, with that. And to be fair, in particular against Somerset, he took 4 for 35. So clearly it's worked, at least. And yeah, Matt Lamb, what a celebration. Absolutely love that. For those who haven't seen it, just put it into social media, put it on YouTube, Matt Lamb wicket celebration. Trust me, you'll thank me later. In terms of our last one then, Chris, before we end today's episode, who in the Warwickshire dressing room is the most likely to appear on Love Island?
Carlos Brathwaite, probably. I mean, he's not really in the Warwickshire change room, but he's just got so much swag about him. In the dressing room, maybe a youngster like Henry Brooks. I don't know.
That's a shout, to be fair. Both are. Yeah. I mean, Carlos Brathwaite, as you said, very suave. Very stylish as well.
I guess you need someone there that's also got a serious rig to go in Love Island. So, I don't know. It's quite a niche sort of personality and physical traits to be on Love Island.
It is indeed, yeah. I mean, I can't say I'd be on there anytime soon. Chris, what about yourself? If someone from ITV offered you a place, would you go on?
Probably not. I mean, I think the cricket side of things could be tainted quite a bit by it. I enjoy watching it and stuff, but not even for all the fame and money you get once you come off of it, do I think it's worth it at this stage. So, no, my answer is probably a no.
Fair enough, Chris, yeah. I think Warwickshire fans, myself included, very, very thankful for that answer as well. We don't want you jetting off to... What even is the island? It's one of the Balearics, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. Yeah, somewhere in Spain.
Ibiza, Menorca, one of them. Again, apologies, Love Island fans.
Yeah, Mallorca. Yeah, one of them.
One of them, just the Love Island. There we go. Yeah, we don't want you jetting off there halfway through the season. That put a little bit of a spanner in the works, to be honest, Benji. But Chris, I think that is a fantastic way to wrap up today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. I mean, it goes without saying I've thoroughly enjoyed talking all things Warwickshire with you. And of course, getting to know a bit more about your cricketing journey. So just before we end, Chris, do you just have anything to kind of plug or promote? Any social media channels, for example?
Yeah, well, definitely my Instagram. Give me a follow if you're listening to the podcast. Feel free to drop me any message if you'd like any advice or a chat about anything. More than happy to help if possible. If you'd like any biltong, a friend of mine does some real nice biltong. It's called Biltong Bookie. They're fantastic. And then that's probably it from my side.
Fair enough, Chris. We will, of course, leave the links to your social media in the podcast description. But all that I've got left to say, mate, is thank you very much for joining me here on the podcast today. It goes without saying, but it's been an absolute pleasure. And of course, wishing you nothing but the very best of luck in the Bear and Ragged staff. I've absolutely no doubt you'll absolutely kill it for Warwickshire over the next few years. But that does bring us to an end to today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. To all of our wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.